I just want to take a couple minutes to share some things that Father's been putting on my heart about peace and rest. And it's a work in progress. I've learned a lot in the last 5 months of walking through this issue with my back, and just wanted to share some of the things that Father's been doing in my heart and changing me, and hopefully it will impact some of you in a positive way as well. Well, even before I injured my back, Sue and I had realized the importance and need to start resting and being at peace more. We were very busy people. We had a lot of commitments to a lot of things, a lot of ministry-type things in our home. And we realized that that was not healthy for us in our spiritual walk and spiritual growth. So we started trying to stay at peace and rest. But it's not automatic, and I'm sure everyone here probably could recognize or identify with that. And the reality is that we all have pretty full and busy lives, and we can allow other things to become priorities in our life. And we can begin to impact us in ways that I started seeing in my own physical body. When I was at peace and rest, I was much healthier. Had felt better, felt strong, felt really like I could take on the world. And when I was busy and uptight and concerned about things and stressed and everything else, and I'd get sick and different infirmities would try to come on my body, and I'd experience pain and different sorts of things. And Sue was trying to get my attention on being more at peace and rest. Typically, their wives are the ones who try to keep us in line and going the right direction. And yet, I couldn't see a possible way how that would work because I had so much to do. And so, my logical left brain would kick in and say, no, I can't take time to be at peace and rest. I need to get this stuff done. Well, that all changed 5.5 months ago when I injured my back and herniated 2 discs in my lower back, and suddenly I was just overwhelmed with fear. I never realized just how much fear was there until you get exposed to something that brings it out. And just everything that piled on all at one time, the numbness, the lack of ability to move my leg, the pain from the pinched nerves, all the enemy's attack on my thoughts, what's happened here, I'll never be able to walk again, and then all the beating up on myself, just thinking, if only, if I just not bent over like I did to tie my shoelace and just slipped on the shoes that don't have any laces on them, I had to go help somebody get in next door to a rental property. Oh, those just bombarded me, and I was just in torment. Fear has torment, and certainly when you have something going wrong with your body, it can even magnify that more. And I was definitely struggling with trying to even find a way to be at peace and rest. The first couple months after the injury were just a real struggle to keep calm and keep calming myself down, actually, as I would get hyper-vigilant to start looking at your body and things aren't working right and the pain and all the different things I was dealing with. And one of the things on top of all that, I thought if I just pushed myself and exercised, I could speed up this recovery. So I was taking some pain medication and stuff, so I thought I was feeling better. I thought things were good, and I started exercising, and I was doing everything that I should not have been doing, and the one thing I should have been doing was resting. And that was the one place that allowed my body to really come into that healing again. So I started really this journey and discovery and retraining of my mind and calming myself to the place where I get back into peace and rest more quickly. And I started doing some looking at peace and the two words and the whole idea of peace and what scriptures say about peace. And So I want to share just a little bit about how that has impacted me in really positive ways. I've come a long, long ways from the past 5 months, nearly back to normal in almost all the movements and all the things in my body. Peace and rest are pretty close. I always thought they kind of would be interchangeable, but there's a subtle difference there. I looked up the definitions of them. I saw it, that the rest is the ceasing of the motion, the activity, the actions of our body. And peace is that state of quietness and calmness and the settling inside of us. But I see that you can move from one to the other, and one can bring you into the other. If you put your body at rest, you stop ceasing activity and action and motion and just relax, it usually will produce peace in your body and your heart, and your inner quietness will come. Or if you turn inward and focus on the peace that's inside of you, you'll realize, gee, I'm not in action and motion and moving around. You just become aware of that peace, and it allows you to slow down and calm down. So that I see they really work together very well. There's a lot of techniques out there, and we minister to a number of people who deal with stress and anxiety and post-traumatic stress and different forms that it comes in, and realizing a lot of them have seen psychiatrists and psychologists, and they have these breathing techniques and calming techniques and things that really do help the body get back towards that place of peace and rest, and they're really positive, but it seems like they're only temporary. It never really solves the problem, never gets to the root issues of why we're not at peace and rest to begin with. And I might do another session just on that aspect of why we get stressed out, why we are where we go with stress, but that would take too long for tonight. But those negative emotions and stuff, we can keep more of a control through those techniques, but Father wants to give us a peace that will change our lives, that will change us from the inside out. The peace of God is far better and far more effective than the peace that we can achieve through some technique or some method of calming ourselves down. And then there are some things out there, the meditation things and stuff that other religions and other types of exercise and stuff can do to help calm your body down, but they really don't produce the peace that Father wants us to have and the intention that He first made us to be able to experience. Because I see, the more I learn about this, that Father created us to be at peace and rest. He wanted us to be at peace and rest. In fact, our bodies do much better when we are in a position of peace and rest. And that doesn't mean we don't do anything. That doesn't mean that we can't continue our activities and continue doing things, but we do them with carry the peace inside of us that will allow us to flow. And I'll talk about that a little more later, that getting into God's flow of everything. When we're moving in peace in our heart and then that calmness and that quietness on the inside of us, we can accomplish a lot of things and usually accomplish them more effectively and easily and quickly if we are approaching them from a place of peace and rest. And sometimes we just have to sit down, like this afternoon, I kind of got going on a couple different things, and I just had to practice what I'm preaching here. I had to go in the other room and just quiet myself down. I was getting places, my sinuses were starting to go the wrong direction. I'm thinking, Daddy tapping me on the shoulder and saying, hey, I think you need to take a break here. But when you look at Father, even the way He created us, and the day of the week, for example, of when He created us on the sixth day, and realizing and knowing that He was going to rest on the seventh day, He wanted man to wake up and come into the first day of the week on a day of rest. And I've heard it called its Daddy's Day, and it's the Sabbath, rest, that the Father established in the Garden of Eden when he would come purposely, come and see Adam and Eve, who were just man at that time. They weren't being the distinction between man and woman at that point. They were so much one. But he came and he taught them and communed with them and fellowshiped with them and interacted with them on that first day of rest. So that he had their full attention and their full body, that there were no motion or action, and their bodies were quiet and calm on the inside. And so he could effectively interact with them in the way that he always longed and desired to. So every Sabbath became Father's Day. And I really like that when we think about our choosing a day of peace and rest, depending on what our activities are. It might not be Sunday, but Sunday works out well for a lot of people. That to be our Father Day. And the focus is there to be at peace and rest and focus on the Father on Father's Day, which is our Sabbath day. And then you fast forward a little bit after the fall and things are not running real well in the kingdom that he created for man. And he put out the commandments. And what did he do? The fourth commandment, he put back that emphasis about honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy. It was not only Father's Day, it was meant to be a holy day, a special day. I just think of when we first moved to State College 40 years ago, there were very few stores or things open on Sunday. You had to plan ahead. The only thing you might be able to find open would be a gas station or some of the restaurants, but otherwise everybody was focused more on peace and rest and time for focus on family and doing things together. With the disobedience that Adam and Eve in the garden disrupted this whole pattern of this fellowship with the Father and being at peace and rest, he forced them to leave the garden. And so it took Jesus coming and his sacrifice and finished work of the cross to bring us back to a place where we could reinstate this whole Father's Day and this whole celebration of the Sabbath in a way that he wanted it to be done, not as a ritualistic thing that it became with the Israelites, more so than a honest, holy day that would be a time for them to fellowship with the Father. And I like Jesus said, you know, I've come to give you peace. Well, that's part of what I see when he finished work on the cross. He came so that he could reestablish that fellowship with the Father by removing the sin, giving us his righteousness, which gave us free access to the Father, and allowing us to have that fellowship that he wants to enjoy with each one of us on this Sabbath day of rest. And I like the Passion Translation. Jesus said, I will give you rest, and Brian Simmons translates it, I will refresh your life. I think that's really a neat way to look at that whole idea. It's a refreshment, and a refreshing of ourselves. And the Sabbath rest is really a foretaste of what heaven is going to be like. Part of being at peace and rest is experiencing the kingdom here on this earth. That's part of the kingdom coming here on the earth, is to having that peace and rest coming to us here on the earth. And the striving to enter into this rest is really getting rid of the disobedience, getting rid of the doubts and the worries and the fears and everything else. That's the striving that we need to do so that there's nothing left but for us to enjoy that peace and rest with the Father. But there's a lot of things that destroy that, and you look at Hebrews 3. Reality was is that under Moses, the Israelites were not able to enter into peace and rest. And it was through disobedience. So one way we end up not being able to enter into that rest is through disobedience. And then with Joshua trying to enter into the promised land, the land that was full of milk and honey and plenty, yes, and that's in Hebrews 4, that they hardened their hearts. Through their doubt and unbelief, they couldn't believe that it was possible to even do that and even enter into the promised land. And so there was no peace and rest. And when you read through this Old Testament, the times when referred to it as the land rested, but really what it was some of it was 40 or 80 years they would have this peace because they had conquered all their enemies. And there would be a brief period of peace in the land, and there was rest and peace among the people where they could focus on other than trying to get rid of the enemies that were trying to come at them. But it was very short-lived and not long-lasting. And all the busyness and all the guilt and the shame and all the negative emotions that we can become overwhelmed with can disturb us and rob us of that peace and rest. And if we focus on the negative, focus on the news, or focus on all the things that we see that are wrong in our own lives, wrong in our families, wrong in our city, government, all those things take us away from peace and rest. And it's a disturbance in our hearts that doesn't allow us to stay at peace and rest. And we can carry around these burdens, carry around this heaviness, carry around the guilt and shame, and carry around the whole what-if things and if-onlys, all the lost opportunities, and thinking all the things that haven't gone right in our lives. And that can get us out of peace and rest. And certainly one of the biggies is the remembrance of our past sins. Now, Satan is the accuser and the brethren, and he tries to roll that over in our minds and thoughts. And every time that we slip up, or every time we know that we've done something that's displeased the Father, then the accuser comes in and brings a disturbance into our hearts, steals the peace and rest that we're supposed to have. And that was part of what Jesus accomplished when he did do the work on the cross, was that he took those sins. He washed away those iniquities that are the ones that try to torment us. And we're free from them. And we need to give those burdens, give those negative thoughts, and release all those things to Jesus, because he took them on the cross. And we don't need to carry them. We don't need to allow them to steal our peace and joy. And he not only did the ones in the past, but he's also accomplished the ones in the future, too. And he's carried the sins that we have yet to happen in our lives. That part in itself is just amazing. All we are required to do is to believe and receive it, and that we're forgiven. The forgiveness is there the moment we recognize that there has been something we've done that's displeased the Father, and we turn that over to him, and he cleanses us of all unrighteousness and brings us back into total fellowship with him again, into that peace and rest where he wants us to stay. And when we focus on the Father, we're focusing not on the law of sin and death anymore, which is just destroys us, and we're focusing our attention on this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that sets us free from the rest. And so what we want to do is bring peace and rest into our hearts and into our lives. And there's a lot of good advice in scriptures about how to do that. And probably one of the best ones is in Philippians 4:8, where he instructs the church in Philippi and to us to think on things that are good and pure and lovely and of good report and worthy of praise, and begin to forget all the things from the past. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things that are past, I press on forward to the things that are in the future, to be future focused, be present and future focused, and not present and past focused, and not dwelling on all the things from the past, but let them be the foundation that takes us to a higher level into the future. And we can begin to focus on what the Word says. And one of the big ones that can really help us is, what does the Word say about us? And you begin to study that out, and you realize that we're all sons and daughters. Our true identity are to be a Father as sons and daughters and part of the family, and focusing on his love and the fact that he loves us and that he's always going to love us and he's never going to leave us. And the fact that he doesn't even look or consider anything from the past. I mean, he's definitely present and future focused with us, and that's all he sees. And to put on, I've heard it called God's eyes. And Leif Hetland that's coming, he calls it sunglasses. Put on your sunglasses, S-O-N glasses, so that you see things through the lens of the finished work of the cross, the way Father sees us. Free from the past, free from sin, and actually free from sickness and disease. The Father looks at us and sees healing and health in us because he knows that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, and by his stripes we were healed. So we put on our sunglasses and begin to see ourselves the way Father sees us. And what I've really realized, one of the things that's helpful in receiving what Jesus did on the cross for ourselves is we have to trust. And trust is really a huge thing. And the reason we are able to trust our Father and trust the Word is because of his love for us. And it really, until we experience that love, that knowing in our heart, knowing that without any question or any doubt or fear or anything else, that he loves us. And he is love, and he loves us, and he is in us, that we can trust him to fulfill his word. He says he watches over his word to perform it. And he says that all of his promises are yes, and we say amen to that. And what the reality of all of this is that whatever thought you carry around in your mind and what you think on becomes reality in your life. So that's why Paul, in so many different ways and places in the New Testament, tells us to think on these positive things about ourselves, to see ourselves that way, because that becomes our reality. What we think of ourselves in our heart is the reality that we're going to walk in our lives. Mm-hmm. And if we want to walk in the reality of peace and rest, then we need to see ourselves as Father sees us. And seeing every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father above. So, a couple of just touch on quickly before we break here is there's a lot of reasons why being at peace and rest are important. I've touched on one of them, that in particular, that why I started this journey of discovering and exploring this whole area of peace and rest is that it's good for your body. It's good for your health. And there's so much that I could go into, it would take another hour to cover the response our body has when we're at peace and rest. The response our body has when we feel good about ourselves, when we walk in our true identity as sons and daughters, we release a lot of good things into our blood that boost our immune system and get rid of the things that shouldn't be there. And we minister to people and they have their brokenness of their hearts healed, and a lot of the symptoms leave their bodies. And when you're at peace and rest, it helps you walk free from the stresses of life. That releasing that stress, the doctors say 90% of everybody that comes to see a doctor, they come because of the root issue is stress in their lives. Most everything that we deal with in our bodies is tied to stress. The negative things are tied to stress, and the healthy things are tied to peace and rest. So they're a good thing. And peace really gives us authority, and peace gives us power, and peace gives us the kingdom. The kingdom is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is peace. So when we're in the flow of peace, we're really bringing the kingdom of God here on the earth. We're bringing his kingdom here into our own lives. And the authority, you look at Jesus, he was at peace in that boat going across the sea in the storm. And in total peace, he even uses the word to command the storm, the peace, be still. Yes. He just declares peace over the Sea of Galilee. And that authority of peace calms the whole sea. So we can use that authority of peace. There's some other scriptures that tell us that we carry that peace with us, and we impact everything around us by the peace that's in our hearts. I hope and believe that when you come into our house, you experience peace. We've had a lot of people say that it's just so peaceful here, it's so enjoyable here, because the kingdom is peace and it's powerful. And you think about Jesus being able to turn around and walk through an angry crowd that wanted to kill him. And they just kind of spread out of his way. And I can just see the image of that. They all just kind of backed their way and they just walked right on out and said, "See you later, guys." And the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And if you study out the root word, it's really shalem, and means to be healthy, whole, without need, to complete, nothing missing, nothing broken. So that we let peace rule in our hearts. We bring the shalom of His peace into our bodies, and everything in us and around us in our lives are changed. And so tonight, I just encourage you, if you don't have anything specific that you want to pursue with the Father or receive from the Father during our soaking time now, is that you take a few deep breaths and relax and invite Jesus to come and just close your eyes and focus inwardly to the peace and quietness inside of you and allow Father to speak to your heart and maybe bring some images onto your image maker. We call it having an Emmanuel moment, and allowing the God with us to come and be with us. And so we'll just close with that.